Jerry was handing them out. If not, we'll have Jerry give you one if you raise your hand if you didn't get one. This is going to be used for Kenny's invitation tonight. It's kind of an outline of his invitation. It's got quite a few scriptures on it, so you need it to stay up with it, probably. Put this down here. Okay. All right. Now, Gilbert told me to start with on page 13. So if you take your book, everybody has a book, I assume. All right. Page 13 and number 5 toward at the bottom of the page. These kids are great, aren't they? They were singing, our two were singing on the way here tonight. Number 5. That we be not too secure. Oh, take heed. Take heed is in front of all of these. Take heed that we be not too secure in our own estimation of our spiritual status. New Testament writers often used examples from the Old Testament to teach a lesson. After all, is that not one of its purposes? Romans 15 and 4 says, for whatsoever things were written beforehand, it says here, or before time, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And then in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul mentioned a number of sins of the Israelites, such as idolatry, fornication, murmuring, tempting the Lord. And then he added, now all things happened unto them for examples, that they are written for our, what did you say? Admonition. Now, if you didn't look that up, you might have went ahead and put what word in there? Learning. But it's admonition in that verse. Upon whom the ends of the world have come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed or care lest he fall. Verses 11 and 12. That's 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 and 12. Now, we'll finish up lesson 2 when we finish this page. This scripture was not written to destroy confidence, but to warn of being overconfident. All of us remember Peter's bold assertion that he would never deny his Lord, even if all the others did, and even if he must die for his Lord. But later he denied him how many times? 3 times. He said, I won't do that. I'll never do that. Trust me, I'll never do that. I'll never deny you, Jesus. I never will. So not only once, twice, 3 times he did it. But later he denied him 3 times and cursed and swore. Why did you do that? He had to prove the people around him, to the people around him, he was not with this man named Jesus or the Christ. He's not one of his followers because he cursed and he swore. At least that's the attitude he had behind that. In living the Christian life from day to day, we find 2 words in 2 Corinthians 13:5 that we should apply continually, namely, examine yourself. Can I examine you? Maybe. Do a poor job. Shouldn't have any reason to doing it. The only one that can really do it and do it with the right intent is yourself. Just check yourself out and see how you're doing. Sometimes we may think we're doing great and we're not. Sometimes we may think we're not doing so good and we're doing great. So, but examine yourself. Make sure you're pleasing to you and to God. Without those 2 words and frequent application, we could never properly evaluate our standing before God. However, despite these words of warning, many keep telling themselves that they are all right, but they are headed for a fall. Even the great Apostle Paul readily admitted that being a Christian involved a constant self-examination. He said, but I keep under my body or control of my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I should be disqualified. I should be lost. Paul was concerned about that. He knew that he had to live the right life, a true Christian life in front of all the people that he saw. And if he was concerned about that, we should be too, to make sure we're always doing what's right and living up to God's expectations. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Be bold for the Lord, stand up for his cause, have great faith in the Lord, and manifest courage. But do not forget that you are a human being with tendencies to weaken under strain. Then large, bold letters, take heed. And that's what this lesson was about, taking heed. We ought to take heed. Okay, any comments or points about that lesson? We're going to lesson 3. Good. Lesson 3, page 815. We ought to speak the truth with boldness. Proverbs 28:1 are these words. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. That boldness does not come easily under all kinds of circumstances. Even Paul felt in need of others' prayers as he spoke the truth, as we learn from Ephesians 6:17-20. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication when we're asking God for things, prayer when we're talking to God and thanking God for things. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and with all supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance or speech may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Everybody had that one right? Boldly. We've seen that word a lot in these lessons so far. To make known the mystery. The mystery of the gospel. That is referring to the things that have not yet been revealed at that time. That was a mystery. There's other more teaching coming. They knew it. And they had to be reminded of that from time to time. So the mystery or the hidden truth of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. You might have bonds, another version might have chains. But bonds is a King James word. That therein I may speak boldly, there's that word again, as I ought to speak. Paul definitely was not shy. He was bold. It didn't matter who he was in front of. It didn't matter in front of a king or whoever it was. He was going to tell God's gospel to the people. And he knew that he was in jeopardy when he did that, face to face. But he continued doing that until his dying day. As an apostle of Jesus, chosen to preach Christ even to the heathen, Paul knew that many trials and tribulations lay ahead, but he determined to speak the truth at whatever the cost. Through his strong faith and that of his brethren, he went bravely to the task before him. We've already seen from lesson 2 that he kept back nothing that was profitable from the Ephesian brethren, Acts 20:20. Following this meeting with the Ephesian elders, he would go to Jerusalem, not knowing the things to be suffered there. He knew he was not going to be in friendly ground, but he didn't know exactly what was going to happen. He soon found out, except that in every city, bonds and afflictions awaited him. He expected to be thrown in jail wherever he went for preaching the gospel. He's done it already more than once, and he knows there's going to be more occasions for that same thing. From verse 24, show the fearlessness of the great apostle as he thought about his work. That'd be Acts 20, chapter 20, verse 24. Let's just read those scriptures, I think, is the best thing to do. So, 20, 24. Okay, here we go. But none of these things move me or concern me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry, which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you are all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. There he's telling him that I got a good idea. I'm not going to be coming back here. He just felt that that's the way it was going to work out. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Okay, I read one extra verse. It's free. Now I put in the blank, a little shorter. Actually, I had more room on the blank this time than I'm used to. That he was determined to finish his what? His course. What he was there to do and take care of, he said, I'm going to finish it. His work. He's going to finish it with what? Joy. He loved what he was doing here. He absolutely knew exactly what he needed to do, and he was doing it. Christ is the one who gave him that responsibility. And so he continued to preach that gospel. I think that's what he's telling us with that scripture. You know, I did have murder on my hands. I was guilty of, as you, the one you mentioned. He knew he was guilty of that. Not since he's been converted, though. Not since he's had his sins washed away. He says, now I know what my past was, but I'm not doing that anymore. And so since I've become a Christian, I'm not guilty of taking a life, being the cause of a life being taken. And you couldn't argue with him, because that's the way he turned his life around completely, didn't he? He did. And that's why he was, for quite a while probably, at least initially, and then quite a while after that, for many people, they didn't trust him. He was so strong in persecuting the church that people just couldn't believe him. Overnight he changed. Christians can do that. You can do that. You can become get in a safe condition and live the good life after you're baptized. Believe you're baptized and repent. So he was quite an example, and I think that's why our Lord picked him out to be his ambassador to the heathen, to the unbelievers, to the Jews also, and to the Greeks also. He was there preaching to everybody. Wherever he went, he preached. He went on 3 missionary journeys. Took a big part of his life to do that. And he preached, and he preached, and he established congregations everywhere he went. What a man. What he did. Now he had could have been kept what he had done in the past in his mind and not worked as hard as he worked, but he didn't do that. He worked harder than he was working before, to try to convert as many people as he could. Great example for us to follow as well. I see a hand up.
Sometimes it's hard for us to put sins of the past, keep them in the past, and remember that we have been forgiven. So, we truly forgive ourselves. Sometimes that can be hard too. Just, you know, remembering, you know, things come up. I've been forgiven for that. So sometimes people might want to try to bring them up to you or whatever. And you just have to remember and be strong. forgiveness of God. You think about, you know, some of the things that we have in the Bible that he did and were forgiven for. Then when we think about some of the things that we did and we have trouble with forgiving ourselves.
And God says, your sins will be forgiven and forgotten. Now, we have a problem, just what you said. Sometimes we have a problem even with ourselves. We may not be 100% converted, 100% given to that. Keep that in our mind, that we're 100% gone. They're just gone. Forget them. They're in the past. God's forgot about them. And we should too, as best we can. I know it's hard. It's difficult. But keep working on that. That's one we can always work on and do better. Yep.
So we're talking about Paul. He was persecuted Christians. He was active. Doing what he thought.
He was right. He was convinced he was. Right. He was working. He was working and doing everything he could to stop this Christianity thing, this new religion. He was Jewish. That's the religion he knew. That's the religion he was educated in. And he wanted to stop it. And when Christ met him on that road to Damascus, he had that vision. He was told what to do, remember? He was told to go into Damascus and wait at somebody's, a guy's house, and he'd be told, a messenger would come and tell him what he needed to do. From that time on, he worked harder than he was working before for Judaism, for Christianity. Yeah. Pardon me? Right, exactly right. And he thought he was originally. He was sure he was originally, until he was proven wrong. But then he had the ability, he had the willingness to write 2/3 of the New Testament. Awesome, given to him. God, that was a big test that God gave to him. And we all benefit from his writings through the Holy Spirit. And Justin. He removed them. Yep. We're the hard heads that won't forget that. We'll buy into that 100%. But that's what we got to do. You can't worry about things you've done. You repented of it. You confess that you did wrong. You're gone. God says they're gone. Can't argue with that. Okay, thank you. Good discussion. So be bold for the Lord, stand up for his cause, have great faith in the Lord. No, that's not the right one. I went back a page, sorry. So we've done that one now. We have already seen in another lesson that Paul did not hesitate to speak out before his rulers of the day. Even they, the rulers, were impressed with his innocence as well as with his boldness. Felix, that word you want there is probably trembled, that's right. Means he heard Paul speaking with the authority that he had, that he was speaking with, and he started to tremble and shake. Paul's message was getting to him in Acts 24 and 25. And then Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Acts 26, 28. That wasn't all he said, though. He also, at a future date, I'll call you back in and we can talk about this some more. And I'm sure that happened. We don't have any record that he actually obeyed the gospel, but we know that he opened the door for Paul to come back. And you know Paul's had the door open? He's going to go there through that door. and stay in touch with him. So that's two of the powerful leaders of their time that listened to Paul and were interested in what he was, his discussion of what he was doing and why he was doing it. A number of scriptures show Paul's boldness and its effect on others. Consider the following. When Paul, who was known as Saul before his conversion, came to Jerusalem and tried to join himself to the disciples, this is what I mentioned a couple minutes ago, they were what about him? They were afraid of that guy. You know, maybe he's just trying to figure out who are the ones he should capture and punish and put in jail and maybe even kill as the Jewish leader, Jewish. They were afraid of him. Many were. Not knowing about this sudden change from being a persecutor of Christians. But then it was then that Barnabas brought him to the apostles and explained to them how he had seen the Lord in the way, the vision that he had in the way, that he spoke to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus, Acts 9, 26 and 27. So Barnabas spoke up when the apostles were together and said, no, he's the real thing. He's been converted. You don't have to fear anymore about him and what he was doing. And he preached boldly his experience, probably his conversion maybe, but he preached boldly about Jesus the Christ, the Savior who was promised to come, Acts 9, 26 and 27. From Acts 13, we learn that Paul and Barnabas, having preached to the Jews, received requests from the Gentiles that they might also hear the gospel. The next Sabbath day, on a great crowd, one version says almost the whole city. Almost the whole city came out to hear him talk. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Envy. What's another word for envy? Jealousy. Jealousy. He had drawn half the town, it says, to come out and hear him. And tried to contradict the things that Paul was speaking. It was contradicting and blaspheming were two things that they were going to charge Paul, would like to charge Paul with. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold, and said, and Barnabas is still there at his side helping him, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you by seeing you put it from you, and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, though we turn to the Gentiles. There he's reminding the Jews that they had been offered the first missionary journey, the first lessons of Christianity. They had been talked to, offered to Paul, probably evidently offered to come and talk to them as well. But he said, we turn to the Gentiles. We're opening the door for the Gentiles now too. You guys didn't seem to be that interested. Number three, at Iconium, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected. Those two words together, we could use the word bitter maybe. They made their minds bitter against the brethren, against these new Christians. Acts 14 and 2. Verse 3 says, long time therefore abode they Paul and Barnabas, speaking, there's that word again, boldly, in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Number 4, at Ephesus he went into the synagogue, this is Paul again, and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God, as Acts 19 and 8 tells us. 3 months. So he stayed there at Ephesus, this says, for 3 months, preaching and teaching. He was preaching and teaching this new faith, Christianity, the things that he had learned, the things he was still learning. And people were coming. So he had many people who were interested. And this is among the Jews, among the Gentiles and the Jews themselves. People wanted to hear this man speak. He was speaking boldly. It doesn't mean just loudly. He may have been a little loud too. For if you got a big crowd, you got to be a little bit, because you didn't have amplifiers. But he was. I think he had a great ability to be an orator. He had trained under some really smart men. He could have done very well from a pulpit as far as teaching people, preaching to people. And God was with him, so who could be against him?
Conviction
and confidence. Yeah. Because if you're weak and not, don't sound like you're going to be wishy-washy, you're not going to get to anybody, are you? Right. Good, thank you. Number five? Yeah. Seeing the boldness of Paul caused others to be emboldened to speak out for the Lord. Others became and fed off that boldness too in themselves. Paul himself called attention to this fact in Philippians 1:14, which says, "And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident," there's growing again, "growing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." He said many people just know about us being in prison. They know where we're at. We're in chains. We're locked up in prison. And that's given them the confidence to go out and teach and preach too as well. And number six, in the days of Paul, the city of Corinth was wealthy and wicked. However, Acts 18:8 says that many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And the Lord gave Paul much courage through the vision of the night, saying, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. So he sounds like he got somebody to protect him. He does. It's God. God says, don't worry about personal injury that may come your way. We'll take care of that. How long did he stay there teaching the word of God, according to verse 11? A year and 6 months. So he's in Ephesus 3 months, we know earlier, an earlier verse. This one, a year and a half. And he's getting to know the people. He's getting to preach to more people, more and more people. And they're taking care of him as well. Acts 18:8, that says many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. I think that's a verse that I don't think we use a lot to back up the requirement of baptism. That one says this group, a large group evidently, Paul had been there long enough over his year and a half that he was that they were baptized. And we have Acts 2:38 and other scriptures that talk about that. But I think this is another one we should add to that list, showing you how effective it can be among the population of Acts 18 and 8. Let me read that one real quick. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, that means he's a what? A Jew, right? He's a Jew. Believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed, and they were baptized. So that's a verse. You keep a list of verse, book, chapter, and verse for some items such as baptism. That'd be a good one to add there. So that's a good place for us to stop. So we'll start there next week, number one at the bottom. Some more of God's people who spoke without fear. Any other comments, questions? Good. Okay, thank you. Thanks for your kind attention. Thanks to those online as well. We appreciate it.
That's Mark 858. Sound of invitation. 858, sound of invitation. And we'll sing first 546. 546. There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me, it tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Good evening. Everyone have one of those sheets? Trying to stay within the time frame of 10 minutes. I said I'll just kind of print off a sheet and put the scriptures on it. There's a song called, I Wonder Do You. I wonder do you love the Lord like I do? For He gave His life for me and for you. We look at Mark 10:42 through 45. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefs shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. What a plan God had to send his Son to walk on this earth like you and I right now. But what a plan God had, knowing that the end would cause his Son so much pain and agony. What a plan God had to send his Son to give us light and to show us the way and to minister unto us. Why? Why would God do that? Why would he do that? In John 3:16 we see, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is why. This is why God did this for us. I wonder, do you praise the Lord like I do? For what was given to me was given to you. In Hebrews chapter 13, 15 through 16, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice to praise God. Continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with these sacrifices, God is well pleased. In Psalms 148, 1 through 5, Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise you him, all his hosts. Praise you him, the sun and the moon. Praise ye him, ye the stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that are above the heavens. Let the praise the name of the Lord. For he commandeth, and they create. You see, when we praise him, we let others see Christ in us. When we praise him, we can learn of him, how we should walk, how we should talk, and bring the dying world a lifeline to our Father in heaven. He died on the cross. Oh, he died on the cross. In Matthew 27, 45 through 54. Now from the sixth hour that was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out, a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, they said, This man called Elias. And straight away, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on the reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come and save him. Jesus, when he had cried again, with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. I love him with my soul. I'll tell it wherever I go. I need Jesus by my side a wonder do you. In Luke 10, 25 through 28, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is it written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. I wonder, do you love the Lord like I do? For he gave his life for me and you. I wonder, do you praise the Lord like I do? For what was given to me was given to you. He died on the cross. Oh, he died on the cross. I love him with my soul. I'll tell it wherever I go. I need Jesus by my side. I love him with my soul. I'll tell it wherever I go. I need Jesus by my side. So the question tonight is, I wonder, do you? I wonder, do you? If you're in need, I ask you to come as together we stand and sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus, Father, tenderly upon your ear. Sweet his cry of love and pity, calleth. Turn and lift now and stay and hear. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breath. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Take his yoke, for he is meek and lowly. Bear his burden to him turn. He who calleth is the master holy. He will teach if you will learn. Yea, that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breath. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then his loving tender voice obeying, bear his yoke, his burden take. Find the yoke his hand is on you laid. Light and easy for his sake. Yea, that labor and are heavy laden, upon your dear Lord's breath. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, oh,